Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back, everybody, to Caravan of Garbage, where we're talking RoboCop 2014.
Aw, oh, come on, mate.
We got to, don't we?
We got to. Do we got to also cover RoboCop Prime Directive when RoboCop fights another RoboCop? We got to cover that?
I mean, we will another time.
Aw, oh, come on, mate. James, I was trying to point out the pointlessness of just constantly chasing the content, and the content will never end. Do we cover the Marvel comic book where he gets sent to Iraq? We cover that? wherever it was, somewhere in the Middle East? They give him a rocket pack and another gun or something?
He's sent there to do good though, right?
Yep.
Cool, okay, yep. That's great. Leave a like if you could, everybody, because obviously off the back of the 2012 reboot of Paul Verhoeven's Total Recall, they thought, what's next? What's another thing we can sanitize?
That did poorly and everyone hated it. Let's do another one.
That's right.
Although I don't hate it, honestly.
It's all right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. On the back of it, but most people hating it and some people going, that was all right. That's slightly more accurate to Philip K. Dick's original story, We Can Remember It For You Wholesale.
Yeah, because they got the elevator through the center of the whatever. Yeah,
Colin Farrell and Kate Beckinsale.
And Bryan Cranston.
What?
Yeah. Well, that's like this movie. You look at the cast and you're like, oh, shit.
Great cast. Love's a strong word. I'm going to start again, but leave this in the audio version.
Okay, I will.
I think Joel Kinnaman's pretty good in this role.
I mean, he's good in general.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah.
You might
and he's not even American.
No.
You know that? He's lying to us.
What? I mean, he's not a robot either.
God, he's double lying to us. I think he's doing quite well, you know. I mean, you know, there's scenes where he's, you know, at the start of the movie where he's still human, but nobody cares about those.
Nah.
What we're in this movie for is when he's just a face.
Mm.
And that's all he's got to work with. He's got to work with the face.
Yeah.
And he's serving that face.
He's serving face, everyone.
Serving that face.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. But otherwise, we got Michael K. Williams is in this. The late Michael K. Williams, he's great. Michael Keaton's doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Oldman, who I find unrecognizable in this role for some reason. It's just Gary Oldman, but sans beard and glasses and looking like Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
That guy could be anybody, you know?
Also, he was horny Dracula. He can be anybody.
That's so true.
Gary Oldman is just... he's really killing it in this movie.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You feel the emotion and the conflict like coming off that character.
Yeah,
you know when you see an actor and you're like, wow, you've done some acting.
Some acting before. You didn't have to do any acting in this movie, technically, but you've chosen to do some anyway. But we get Australia's own Abbie Cornish is in this.
Absolutely.
Jackie Earle Haley is as one of those slime balls he plays so well.
Rorschach, for people who don't know.
That's right.
Probably his most famous role.
Jay Baruchel.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a lot of... done some good work. I enjoy his work.
He's doing the slick 80s kind of cokehead.
Yeah, of a sort.
Yeah.
And, of course, we've got Samuel L. Jackson, the sort of the
he's Bill O'Reilly.
He's Bill O'Reilly. It's the new version of the media break that we had in the previous movies.
Mm. And it looks like he filmed all those scenes on a blue screen in one day.
Absolutely.
So the origin of this movie, Joshua Zetima wrote the script based off the early unfinished draft of the original movie by Edwin Neumeier and Michael Miner.
Interesting.
But apparently Paul Verhoeven insisted that this was kind of the wrong approach. He wanted this idea of, you know, this brutal satire of a corporate future and all the humor and work all that into it. So they've gone back to a version of this that was supposed to exist at one point or another.
And I think having you just explain that to me, I think that what they're going with there, and I think it probably makes sense in a Hollywood boardroom, if you're pitching this idea, to be like, okay, well, that stuff worked in the 80s.
Yeah.
But we're going to take the original script, we're going to make it very gritty and grounded and now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I felt upon rewatching this. It felt like they took apart the skeleton, no pun intended, of the original RoboCop and went, put all the elements down on a big whiteboard and went, we'll do all that stuff again.
Yeah.
And in theory, could have worked. But in practice.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about why specifically it may not have. It's studio interference. But making Omnicorp the military industrial complex and then marketing themselves as this force for good in the world, I think that's all kind of solid off the back of like multiple wars where that's clearly not the case.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I agree. There's some ideas here where you're updating them for the modern day-ish. That I get what they're going, but I think there's also elements of that original story that they've stripped out, including the fact that this is PG-13.
Oh, my God.
But the reason for that was that the budget of this blew out from 60 to 100 million plus.
Okay, and so if they've spent that money,
yeah,
they want to get it back in the box office, and you can't do that if it's just 40-year-old men who are like, oh, I love the original RoboCop. He's going to shoot so many guys right in the nuts.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. You got to get the kids in who are going to be like, yay, maybe he'll shoot some guys in the nuts. He won't.
No. He has a stun gun this time.
Okay, if I'm going to be critical of this movie, and I'm absolutely going to be, because that's a bit of having a bit of fun, you know.
Are we?
Yeah. Look, much like I would forgive the Bayverse Transformers movies if the Optimus Prime in it looked like the Optimus Prime from the cartoon, like he transformed into the same truck.
For you, that's a 40% better movie,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I think before I get to the criticisms of this movie, I reckon I'd be willing to overlook a lot of the weak elements of this movie if he kept the classic color scheme from the original movies.
They even do that thing where they're like, we tested this design, but people liked it. And Michael Keaton went, that sucks, actually, and no.
Mm. But I mean, look, and they do a decent shot at it with his new version, and we see it initially, and I'm like, this is a pretty decent modernized version of this.
Yeah.
And then they ruin it by turning it black.
Yeah.
So it just looks like nothing.
Yeah,
right. It turns from like this iconic silhouette with like this iconic color scheme to nothing.
Mm.
And I know like it's about the themes and it's about the drama. It's not about the superficial elements. But damn,
it's not just that though, yeah, is it?
Damn, it's an iconic look. And you know it's because by the end of it, he gets recolored back to classic RoboCop. And then it's like, and now you're going to have more adventures in the future, RoboCop. You're not, are you?
Yeah.
But I mean, surely the idea would be you start him off in the black suit.
Mm.
And then when it's time to be full RoboCop, you know, when they give him the redesign, maybe the CEO says, my kids don't like the black. They think he looks scary. So let's make him silver.
Yeah.
And then he
give him like, the little cop badge and whatever.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because if you saw this guy and you didn't know what he was, you'd be like, is that Batman? This is Batman's fault, by the way. It's the Nolan Batman suit as a robot. He looks like one of those shot-proof iPhone cases.
Yes.
You know, like the builders have. So if you drop your phone at a building site, it'll be fine.
That's right. If you drop it into your strawberry milk, that's a local reference. Tradesman in Australia loves little strawberry milks.
Your big M.
That's right. But there's a scene towards the start of the movie where he's having a test run of all his equipment in a warehouse and he's shooting in a bunch of EM-208 drone robots. And there's points in that where I'm like, I don't know which one he is because they all look exactly the same. But as you were saying a mere 20 minutes ago before I started this, he's got two guns and one's a stun gun.
Yeah.
Is that because if he was going to kill 100 guys, they'd have to make it an R rating? But if you say, well, he's going to kill 50 guys and stun 50 guys, we get a PG-13? Is that what's going on
potentially
there?
Yeah. I think they put it in to be like, well, we can edit around this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
because whether they put in blood or stun pellets or whatever, that can all be done in post.
Yeah,
you can decide that much later.
That's
down
right.
the line.
Also, the fact that he's got two guns means he doesn't have one iconic gun. You know what I mean?
True. He's got one machine gun and another?
And the stun gun.
Yeah.
Not good. But I do have a question for you, James. If you could have two items ensconced in your robot legs, which enabled you to access them instantly, what would you have?
MP3 players, two of them.
Two MP3 players, that's nice. Well, I would have my phone, obviously.
Yeah.
That'd be one. And then maybe like an ice cream cone.
And you put the phone in the ice cream cone?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's madness what you've said.
Sorry. You wouldn't eat the ice cream cone?
Eventually.
But then you would. What would you do then with the hole in your leg?
I'd go back to headquarters and get another ice cream cone.
But an ice cream cone with no ice cream in it?
No.
It would have ice cream in it?
Yes.
So it would have to be chilled then?
It's refrigerated, yes.
You need it to be clearer, Mason.
Sorry.
God. Even though this is PG-13, I feel like they do some horror elements in this really well. Specifically, that he's just a face and a sack of organs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They take everything away from this guy. And I think that is genuinely upsetting.
Yeah, that's where we get some of the best face acting.
When it's peeling away, when you're finding out what's left of him.
That's right.
And you think, you can't really take more off him.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
God, horrifying. Mm. And when he first wakes up and he thinks it's a suit,
yeah,
mm-hmm. he's like, you know, get me out of this thing. And they're like, oh, no, you don't want that.
Oh, no.
And I don't even mind the idea that this time around, when he's woken up, he knows who he is. Mm. And the horror of it is that he is 100% aware of what has happened to him.
Yeah, right. As opposed to the originals where he's forgotten he's Alex Murphy.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's a product. Yeah.
Not a terrible approach.
Mm, sure.
And in the rebuild, like, they give him a hand in the sack of organs in his brain and his face. Give him his dick. What are you doing?
You don't know they haven't?
They definitely did it.
Okay, right.
Did you see it?
I didn't see it, no. But it's PG-13. What do you want?
Yeah, you're right, yeah. That's what I'd have if I was RoboCop and one of my legs.
A functioning dick.
Functioning dick, yeah.
Okay, right.
Oh, man. I love how Gary Oldman is very tactful with all the patients that he, you know, that he works with and operates on. You know, he's teaching a man to play the guitar again with his robotic hands and whatever, and he's trying to be very understanding. He's doing this beautiful work, but he's got this assistant who's just this blunt instrument where when RoboCop first wakes up and he's like, it feels weird. It feels like my body. And she's like, yeah, that's phantom limb syndrome because you lost all your limbs. And he's like, excuse me?
Oh, but speaking of, you know, Gary Oldman's character, he's working with people who have missing limbs and so on and so forth.
Mm.
There's an early scene where he's helping a man find the confidence to play guitar again. And
play classical gas.
Play Freebird. And I think it's that moment where I knew this wasn't going to be like the original, because he just plays it for a bit and then he loses his confidence and then he stops playing.
Mm.
Whereas in the original, that guitar would end up in somebody's head.
Yeah, everyone would be dead in that room.
That's right. The strings would snap off and shoot into people's eyes, you know?
No, you're absolutely right, yeah. Mm. How's about this, though? We mentioned it, but the performance of Joel Kinnaman, I agree. Mm. It's quite good. And what they've done here this time around, they've put him in the suit,
yes,
and then they've mostly CGI replaced him. And you notice that especially on the joints. Like, if you look at his legs, there's no way that human legs could fit within that. And I think it does aid his performance. It is very different from the Peter Weller thing, because he is much slicker. He's much more tactical. He'll clear a room like John Wick. Like, it's that kind of situation.
Yeah, he can run and jump and leap in a way that the original version can't.
Which, again, I don't think is a terrible idea. And I think it's interesting that when they do shut down his emotions at one point for a portion of the movie, you notice, like, a shift in his in his behavior and the way that he operates, like the way that he walks.
Yeah.
Like, his posture is completely different also. So I think that's a nice little subtle thing that they added to this movie. He also has the Batman Arkham detective powers. So that's cool, I guess. Remember?
Pretty good. No, it is
He rewinds a crime in his mind.
Oh, that's true. He does do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's an action sequence where he finally tracks down his attempted murderer, and he switches on the thermal vision, and it all looks very visually spectacular. But I kind of miss the original version, where the thermal vision is clearly just like a bunch of people in weird body stockings that have been colored over.
Absolutely, yeah. I also think that, you know, is this the time to talk about this? It's not terrible, is it? I think there's some really interesting ideas in here that aren't fully...
Yeah.
Fleshed out. Thank you, yeah. But anyway, I like, for example, some of the corporate decision-making in this. Like, before they unveil him to the public, they decide to just upload the entire criminal database into his brain.
I think that's a huge mistake. What were they thinking?
Have you ever tried to update your computer before a presentation or something? Right.
Expressing your love can look many different ways, and with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, okay, so we already know how ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security online. We all know that. We don't need to get into it. But there is something you might not know. You can also use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. Now, maybe you're like me. You watch too much TV. People always say to you, James, you watch too much TV, you're ignoring your family. And maybe you get to the point where you've run out of stuff to watch on Netflix. But here's the thing. Using ExpressVPN, I was able to take a look at a bunch of movies that are not available in my country. I changed my location to the UK, refreshed Netflix, and all of a sudden I could watch Dune, Top Gun Maverick, The Martian. Morbius. It was Morbin time, everyone. You see, ExpressVPN, it lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from over 100 countries. So just think of all the Netflix libraries that you can go through. Do you love Korean dramas? Use ExpressVPN to watch Parasite off South Korean Netflix. But it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works on any streaming service. Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason I use ExpressVPN to watch shows is because it's ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream in HD no problem. ExpressVPN also works on all your devices, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and more, so you can watch what you want on the go or on a big screen. So if you want to get access to hundreds of new shows and movies, use our link right now, expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet, where you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet. expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet to learn more. You've probably heard this, or maybe you've even experienced it. A business gets to a certain size, and then the cracks start to emerge. Things that used to take like a day and now taking a week. There's too many manual processes just grinding away, and you don't have that one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and a whole lot more. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less. Close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. One, because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs, key performance indicators, in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow, all in one place. NetSuite allows you to have the power of all the information in one place to help you make more effective decisions as quickly as possible, so you can keep moving, keep building, keep growing, or have more time off, whatever it is that you're looking to do. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance, absolutely free, at netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. That's netsuite.com/weeklyplanet to get your own KPI checklist. netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. You got this. God damn it, son of a b-. What the f- is happening here? Or sales. Now I prefer the, don't you? And I'm sure you do too, because that's the sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. That's online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Set up Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands like Rothy's, Ruggable, Allbirds, NYX, Cotton, Magnolia, so many. Now, you might be thinking, sure, but migrating all of this is going to be a headache. Well, Shopify's App Store has the migration apps you need to migrate your product, plus orders, customers, and more from every major e-commerce platform to Shopify. And look, maybe you're something like me. You know, you're one of those, don't put me in a box, people. I'm always saying that to people. I'm saying, don't put me in this box. If you put me in this box, I'm just going to have to get out of the box. You're wasting your time. Put the box away. And thankfully, with Shopify, this will never be the case, because you get to control your brand and business. All of that is always in your hands, from your storefront look to your back office operations. Because look, have you ever been checking out from an online store and you got to pull out your credit card, you type in all the numbers and you're like, this card's expired. Oh, where's that other, where's my wallet? Oh, well, the Shopify store, it actually remembers your shipping address and payment information. So if say you're on the couch or I'm on the couch, we're on different couches, and my wallet's like, I don't even know where my wallet is, but it's somewhere else. Then I don't even have to get up. I can just stay there. I love not getting up. So stop leaving sales on the table. Switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Insert cha-ching sound effect.
Yeah.
Come on. That's obviously not going to work. You set up your PowerPoint beforehand, then you test it, and then you don't touch anything.
That's right. And then it still doesn't work somehow.
But I love also, and they even mentioned this in the movie, that the first arrest he makes in public is a hardened criminal who has just come out of hiding after the last 6 years to watch the RoboCop be revealed.
Why wouldn't you? Who knows what he's going to do?
But the finale of this.
Yes.
I mean, it does a thing where he kills a bunch of people. That's the thing that RoboCop does.
Oh, hell yeah.
He stomps into a room and kills everybody. And I do like that, you know, when you see him getting damaged, one thing you can't really do with the originals that you can do now, you can chip away at him and you can see the inner workings.
You can blow a big hole through the dude, yeah.
Yeah, all of that. You can lose an arm and all of that. And, you know, he's fighting Edward 209.
Which, they're too competent, aren't they?
Yeah.
If I were to be critical of this movie, and I'm going to be, and I have, and I will continue to do so.
Sure.
The plot thrust is that the evil Omnicorp wants to introduce robots to policing in the United States.
Which would be cool.
It would be super cool.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just memories of the first movie. They seem to be pretty good at their job.
Yes.
These robots. Like, they're not absolute numbskulls. Like, I mean, they shoot that kid. When they shoot that kid at the start.
I mean, he did have a knife.
I would say maybe add a rule.
He could have stabbed that big robot.
I'm just going to say maybe they could add a rule to the robot cops that says don't shoot a kid with a knife, you know?
I think the point is that, the technology in itself is solid, but the people behind it are not, which I guess is the point of this.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing also that I kind of feel like Keaton puts in a good performance, but he also genuinely seems to believe that this scheme will be for the betterment of the United States. Like he genuinely does believe that putting robot cops on the street will reduce police fatalities.
Yeah.
But then at the end, he's just like, but I've got a gun too. I've got a gun and I'll shoot your family, RoboCop. Like, don't turn on us in the last 30 seconds. You know what I mean?
He didn't have to panic, did he?
No.
He could have just gone, don't shoot me and I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And then he probably would have got away.
Yeah.
Because RoboCop has enough time to be like, I think I can't shoot him, actually.
Yeah, there's a lot of... If I were Michael Keaton's character, I would have taken advantage of, you know, RoboCop struggling, his humanity versus his programming, and I would have just walked back down the stairs. Helicopter wasn't there, just go back down the stairs.
Yep.
Just killed all those Z-209s, just walk out.
You know what I think would have been a good way around it?
Yes.
You die hard for it. RoboCop shoots Michael Keaton through himself.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Technically not a pro... But he just did it.
He did
it. He could just do it.
He could just do it.
He could just think really hard about his family and do it.
Yeah. But I kind of feel like if we had seen...
Give him his penis. What are you doing? Sorry, go on.
The movie needed more scenes, I think, where the policing robots are a genuine danger to the people. Because, again, they seem to be working fine. I don't know.
They're pretty cool, too.
They're very cool. They got that red visor.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's cool. Now, one thing we've neglected to mention, and I lay the blame squarely on you.
Good, I'll take it.
Is the theme of this movie.
Or do you mean the emotional themes?
No.
Oh, the musical.
No.
Theme. Okay, great.
No, Mason.
Thank God.
So the original theme by Basil Poldoris, RIP, by the way, just incredible. But the reason I kind of notice it here is that it just thunders into the title sequence. I felt like you haven't really
earned it,
given me enough to be like, this is a RoboCop movie. And I don't hate the use of the theme in this. Pedro Bromfman did this version. And he does a great job on this score. But it reminded me that, that's a really good score that we probably should have talked about in the other movies.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. But, you know, hindsight is 2020. Or better if you're RoboCop.
Yeah.
With the thermal.
And you can do the Batman detective thing.
That's right. Oh, also, speaking of the music, this film ends with the song I Fought the Law over the closing credits.
Mm-hmm.
Makes zero sense. They should have got Nickelback to do a cover called I Upheld the Law.
And I won.
And I did win. That's right.
Anyway, so of course, as we saw up top, Peter Weller was like, maybe don't do the RoboCop reboot. But the other people had feelings on this as well, including Paul Verhoeven. Obviously, you might not know this, but he directed the first RoboCop movie.
Interesting.
He was skeptical of this remake, saying that it was typical of the lack of fresh ideas in Hollywood. He was even less impressed by the finished movie, commenting that, just like Total Recall 2012, your favorite movie.
That's right.
it lacked the humor that made the original work so well. I don't think it is just the humor. I think you could really take a swing at a serious modern-ish day RoboCop movie. I don't think that's the only thing missing here, but yeah, he's not wrong. This isn't, you know, that really good movie RoboCop.
I've heard of it.
This one isn't as good.
I've never seen it, but I've heard of it.
Sure. Also, the director of this, Jose Padilla, he expressed his frustration in the lack of creative control he was allowed by the studio for this project. He estimated that for every 10 ideas he brought to the project, the studio refused 9, and he went on to describe the making of the film as the worst experience of his life. When word of this conversation became public, in an effort to appease the studios, he made counter-statements saying that actually it was good.
Well, there you have it. But look, honestly, if you're presenting the studio every day with 10 ideas... I think they probably should reject 9 of those ideas.
Yeah.
Because otherwise that movie's going to be really long.
I mean, I the way I presumed he meant was he'd present an idea and they knock it back and then he'd present another idea.
No, I'm assuming that he said, I'm going to put 10 ideas into the movie today and another 10 tomorrow and another 10 tomorrow.
It's all him riding pterodactyls.
That's right. Until, until you give me
a robot pterodactyl?
That's right.
No.
No.
Yeah, until they gave on something, right? My goodness. Anyway, it's time for Reboot Trivia.
I love that.
2014. Whoa. Yeah. Here's some names that were considered. Michael Fassbender.
Do you mean as RoboCop?
Yes.
Or just considered generally?
Think about them.
I like that.
Yeah. Michael Fassbender, Assassin's Creed. Chris Pine, potentially Assassin's Creed maybe. I'm sure he was offered, you know, you a reckon? Chance to, you know.
Okay.
Russell Crowe. I can't imagine him being Assassin's Creed. But I can imagine him being in the world of Assassin's Creed.
I can imagine him being on that big swing arm.
Sure.
He's rooting for the South Sydney Rabbitohs or whatever in the stands, but he's on the swing arm from Assassin's Creed.
Absolutely. Obviously, it ended up going to Joel Kinnaman. This movie takes place in the year. Do you want to take a guess?
So it came out in 2014.
Yeah.
2024?
2028.
Oh, I was close.
No, you weren't.
I'm so close.
You're pretty close.
In the span of all recorded human history, I'm pretty close.
Yeah, you're closer than, say, if you said when there were pterodactyls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Jesus's time.
Yeah, Jesus's time. Similar to the pterodactyl time, right?
I agree.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, this is the only RoboCop movie to be released in IMAX. I think by default, probably, though, right?
Almost certainly, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the box office for this, on a budget estimated between $100 and $130 million, it looks expensive, doesn't it?
It does look expensive. And I would say, generally speaking, especially when it comes to the RoboCop visuals.
Looks good.
Looks really good, yeah. Yeah,
it's a good-looking movie.
Mm.
The box office return, though, was $242 million, which is not terrible, but they're expecting... If you put this much money into it and it's PG-13, then, you know, it's a franchise that people love, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, isn't that the catch-22 there, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
If you make it R-rated, probably fewer people are going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe, but maybe it'll do a Deadpool and people will be like...
I mean, this was pre-Deadpool as well.
Yeah, that's
so
true,
there's no
yeah.
way the studios would have been like, you know, this will work.
That's true. But then the other problem there is if you make it PG-13...
Mm.
It's just not
yeah.
as good and violent.
As RoboCop 3.
That's right.
Yeah. So a sequel to this.
Oh, go on.
It was in the works.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't make it.
It would explain how RoboCop gets his signature gun. He finally gets it right at the end and he uses it once. And then it's like, now it's time for more adventures, RoboCop. Now you've got your suit and your gun.
They actually opted...
Hey, wow, this is like the best gun. It sure is, RoboCop. That's why we made you wait 2 movies for us.
Now you'll appreciate it more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they've actually opted for a requel, which is going to be a sequel to the original movie that ignores 2 and 3.
Okay.
It's that situation.
But not RoboCop 2014.
No.
They're going to mention it in a passing. It's a movie in the RoboCop universe.
Yes.
So this is happening, is what you're saying.
Okay, so RoboCop Returns, originally it was going to be directed by Neil Blomkamp.
Oh, yep.
He left that project. Mm-hmm. I think he would have done a really interesting job on it. I know people don't love all of his movies, but I think if you look at his aesthetic, you know, District 9, Chappie.
He could team up with Chappie.
Matt Damon in an exo suit.
Mm.
All of these things.
He could team up with Chappie 48 Hours style.
Oh, my God.
That's right. Now, Chappie, we're only taking you out of jail so you can track down these drug dealers. And Chappie's like, I don't know what he sounds like. South African.
Okay, right. Let me pick up all my PS4s. Do you remember he had all those PS4s?
Oh, yeah. What would Chappie say? This
I'm going to beat you up, Hugh Jackman. That happens.
Is Hugh Jackman in Chappie?
Yeah, he beats up a bemulleted Hugh Jackman. We've talked about it recently.
I don't believe you.
It's true.
Wow. What, boy, that for a dollar?
That's great.
That's what he'd say.
That's what he would say,
Chappie
yeah.
would say that.
So Abe Forsyth then came on board. He's an Australian director, if you do not know. And like all Australians... including Abbie Cornish. Wonderful. There's only one terrible Australian. It's Scott Morrison. Everybody else is the best. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Amazon acquired MGM in 2023, and they've decided to work on both a new movie and a TV series, which will be coming out maybe in whatever order.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. I also think there was, maybe I'm imagining this, but like a prequel at one point they wanted to work on, like a Dick Jones prequel.
not a Alex Murphy prequel. Regular cop.
Regular man.
Regular man at a less dangerous precinct.
Look how good my dick works. Look how attached it is.
Incredible.
Incredible. Anyways, wow, it's good to visit all the RoboCop movies we've done, haven't we?
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know what? Also, speaking of reboot,
this is better than Ghostbusters 2, you're right.
That's true. Reboots and requels, you know, they're...
The Ghostbusters franchise, like, immediately falls off a cliff, is in my opinion.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
They're testing the waters with the new game, the new RoboCop game.
Yes.
I reckon if people respond to that, well, they'd be like, well, people love the world of RoboCop, so...
That's right. They love that Peter Weller.
That's right.
Anyways, if you like this, if you're like, wow, great video, great opinions on Ghostbusters 2, guess what?
What?
You can actually see these videos early if you head over to bigsandwich.co. It's like our private Patreon. There's also bonus movie commentaries. There's bonus podcasts. There's video game Let's Plays. We actually looked at a bunch of RoboCop games.
We sure did.
Mixed bag.
Wildly varying quality. And if you like Ghostbusters 2, but you don't know our opinions on it, you can simply go back into this channel if you... months or possibly years or maybe a decade, I don't know.
Yeah.
And we've got a little review of that, don't we?
So many Ghostbusters movies. Yeah, I don't think any of them are good. Anyway, it's not important.
Well,
it's not important, Mason.
Well, not even the universally beloved first one?
The 2016 one.
Yeah.
No, that one's good.
Yeah. Yeah, Ghostbusters 1.
Anyways, do you want to know what we're doing next week?
Yeah.
Here's a hint. Don't know.
Nice.
Yeah, that'll be something. Can't remember.
I hope it would be.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Also, we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. That comes out every Monday if you are so inclined to listen to such a thing. We talk the news of the week and then the big movie that happened.
That's right.
And there's always big movie, isn't there?
It's always big movie.
Never stops.
Some weeks there's no big movie.
Some weeks there's not.
Some weeks there's two big movie.
Yeah.
And we're like, for gosh sakes, Hollywood.
Spread out your big movie.
Spread out big movie.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Oh God, let us drink in the big movie at our own pace. Anyways, thank you very much to Ben and Lawrence for the edit.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you guys on the next one.
Wrapped at GM. You guys, we'll see you next week. Okay, Gary Oldman played Dennett Norton.
Yeah.
Jackie Earle Haley played Rick Mattox.
Okay.
And,
Michael Keaton played whatever the vulture's name is.
Yeah, I don't think none of those sound like real names.
No. Well, then they're not, are they?
No.
They're movie people.
Damn, these guys are good.
That's Hollywood. Can't trust them.
That's right.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there. Especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.